I thought we'd be singing another song. Well, now that we've gone past all the embarrassments, thank you very much. One thing that we learned way back in the early days when Dave and I still had natural coloured hair was make sure you get everything on stage correct. You don't want to be getting up on stage and still pushing buttons and... Well, there we go. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for being able to be here with my family. I thank you so much for this church. And Lord, you are already here. We don't have to ask for your presence. We know that your Holy Spirit is moving. Father, I ask that you would help me bring a word that's going to be full of light and life to this group of people. Enable me and Lord, sow something new and fresh. Or remind us of something that we've always known that we'll be able to impact not just the area of Belrive, but it'll overflow right throughout Hobart. So, Father, I commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hello, everyone. And for those who haven't met us before, as Dave introduced us, Di and I have been married 23 years. We have a set of twins downstairs in Kids Church. They're 9 and Keely's 13. And we're now living in Ulverston. So that's a snapshot, if you like. And this morning, I want to start with a little bit of fun. So, Dave, if you can grab the microphone. And what I'd like to do is pass the microphone along the different rows with Dave's assistance. And I want you to describe in one word something about God or about his nature. For example, God is great. And I'm going to see how many different words that we can come up with by going along the rows. Now, if there's huge, great, big, long pauses, we'll just keep moving. And there's one word you're not allowed to use. Awesome. Okay? You're not allowed to use the word awesome. So you've got to be creative. So I've already used the word great. One person can use that word, or he's lovely, or he's amazing. So let's just see how we go. Over to you, Dave. Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Keep that microphone going.
Gentle.
Okay.
Comforting.
Great.
Creative.
Excellent. Just keep going. See how many we can get.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Faithful.
More than enough.
Embracing.
Fantastic.
Mighty.
Powerful.
Keep going.
Loving.
Big.
Special.
Relevant.
Majestic.
Keep going. This is great. Write these words down. I won't have to preach.
Faithful.
Merciful.
Always it.
Loving.
Wonderful.
Righteous.
Good.
All-knowing.
Gracious.
Wise.
Big.
Okay, last row. It's good.
Healer.
All-encompassing.
Listener.
Caring.
Holy.
Fantastic. How we see God determines how we relate to him. How we see God determines how we think he relates to us. How we see God determines how we talk about him with other people. And the number of rows, the number of people that described God with a different word was amazing. It was excellent. Dave has asked me to speak on love today. And I want you to listen to me, church. I simply do not want this to be another theological sermon. I simply don't want this to be another bunch of words that you perhaps have heard before. I'd much rather this message be such that it impacts you, that actually empowers you to do something different, to be something different, that it enables change. It actually does something about the word action. So what are you doing with what you already know? And put it in the context of love. Let's get the challenge right out there. For many, many people all around the world, when asked about love, they would invariably describe love as an emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that answer. or a feeling, or perhaps an action. But very rarely would any of these people, or perhaps yourselves, describe love as a person. Because simply, the Bible teaches very, very clearly that love is a person. Grab your Bibles and open to 1 John and chapter 4. Speaking about love today, and I want to give you three key things. And the first one, that love is a person. 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 7. And the good old NIV, God bless it. I've got the red version. And hopefully you've got a Bible here today, because if you haven't brought a Bible, you can't follow. And if the preaching is really boring, you've got nothing to read. Make sure you bring your Bibles. This is what it says, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Love is a person. God is love. When you meet a person for the first time, a number of different things happen. There's something that is drawn to that person by yourself, whether it be a personality, whether it be looks, whether it be the clothes that they're wearing. You're drawn to that person. Or in fact, the opposite happens. You meet a person for the first time and you said, oh, cringe factor 10. It's just something about that person that irks me. We have all of those people in our lives, the people that we're drawn to and the people that we know, but we're not going to invite to the party. Love, attitude, behavior, it creates a link, a bridge for us to walk over. For example, when I first met Di, there was that wow factor, because I'm very visual, and she's beautiful then and she's beautiful now. It's true. I'm just not saying it because she's in the front row. It's true. We have a healthy banter at home, and I often tell people, it's not true, but I often tell people because it just switches Di's buttons on. I say to Di in front of people, Di, why did you choose me? And she said, because I was the best thing going at the time. Now, this is true. We were sitting on the couch the other day, and she said to me, we were talking about, you know, arrangements and what would happen if one of us died and funerals and just weird sort of stuff. And Di said, I don't want you to die. And I said, why is that? I'd have to train another man. So the love factor, you know, really, it really works. Listen to how God draws us. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Love is a person. God draws us to himself. And listen to how he draws us to him with a loving kindness that has ages old. You know, in very unhealthy relationships, a person is drawn to another by fear. A person is drawn to another by anger. You listen to me. If you don't come right now, I'm going to clip you around the back of the ears with this spade. Sadly, people live with that, and they're actually drawn to that angry person by anger or fear or the threat of something happening. But God does not draw us to himself with those behaviors or attitudes. The Bible says that we are drawn to him by a loving kindness. It's very, very hard to build a relationship or a friendship where love is not part of a framework. Or if a person is unreliable. But listen to what the Bible says about God, your God, your Heavenly Father. It says there in 1 John chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." So God's love for us is very reliable, and we know it. We can simply rest in that love that God has for us. God is very, very reliable. You know how frustrating it is when someone's unreliable? They'll ring you up and they're going to meet you at a particular cafe at a particular time and they don't turn up. That is very frustrating. We all know about unreliable circumstances or the unreliable bus timetable or the unreliable food that you get from a particular supermarket that is always off when you buy it. You don't like things being unreliable. But God is very, very trustworthy. You can count on God being there. The Bible says we know and we can rely on the love that God has for us. Remember how we see God determines how we relate to Him? Some people see the Lord as angry, far off, impersonal, irrelevant, freaky, judgmental, unfair. They do not see Him as a loving God, and therefore they relate to Him in all of those circumstances, in that particular light. I remember when I first started playing basketball, and I was still in grade 9 or 10 at 16, 17, 18, and I had this weird perception of God. When we lost the basketball game, I would blame myself and I would literally think that God was punishing me because I'd actually sinned during the week. And I thought, well, we lost because obviously God's on my case because I did that or I thought that or I said that or I did that thing. That's how I literally saw God. Now, right now, I know that not to be true. My picture and understanding of God has grown, but that's where I lived back then. And so how I related to Him was very, very different. That's weird. That's very unhealthy. But people lived there. And so they would not say that God is love. But we know and we can rely on God's love for us. Love is a person, God. Now here's another question. Where does God live? In you, by the Holy Spirit. He lives in the church, not the building, not the structure. See, this is a church building. It's not the church. What you are in right now is a church service. You are the church. God lives in you. He lives in you and me. What does this mean? How we see God determines how we relate to Him. How we see God determines how we think He relates to us. So if we think that God is far off, we won't understand that He's living inside of us. If we consider God to be judgmental and we know that He lives in us, we have this very unhealthy, God is judgmental and He's living in me. I'm going to be living in fear for the rest of my life because I know every thought that God thinks towards me is going to be one of judging, because if He lives in me and He's judgmental, I need to talk to Dave because perhaps I should leave. But if we know and rely on the love that God has for us and He's living inside of us, that brings comfort. A lady in one of the rows here said comforting. We can have great confidence when approaching Him. We can have great peace regardless of what circumstances we might be facing, because we know that God is love. He's a person. He's right there beside us, never leaving us. And He's here. He's here. How we see God determines how we talk about Him to others. When and where and how do people see God? In you and me. Because God is a person. Here. There. And there. And there. And down in the back row on the couch and the children in kids' church downstairs with the people that are serving down there. The people who are going to be serving us morning tea, God lives in them. You know, we are a mirror of God to the people out there. And how they see us is how the challenge is they see God. And so there's a unique link of God's character and God's character and nature and ours. That's not meant to be a scary thing. It's meant to be an empowering thing. It's meant to be an encouraging thing because we have God living inside of us so that we can go alongside another person in a difficulty and tell them that it's okay because we can care, knowing that we have the Holy Spirit living us. God and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. And so we have the power to forgive. We have the power to heal. We have the power to come alongside and help. We have the power to console, because that very power in the person of God, in the person of Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, where is he living? Here. We are the windows through which God is tasted. We are the windows through which people can touch and hear and see and smell God. And in doing so, they come face to face with love. God is in us. His love is to emanate out of us. Love is a person. So, let him out. I think sometimes God gets very frustrated because we got him caught up in here. I've got a personal relationship with God. And it's that. It's so personal, God gets bored sometimes because he wants to meet someone else. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Lots and lots of women wear perfume. You know, when that lady walks in the room, there's a fragrance. Some men wear aftershave. They know that that person is near because they have a fragrance about them. Hypothetically, religiously, spiritually, biblically speaking, people should know that God is near because there's a smell about us. Being love, being forgiveness, being acceptance, being, can I help you? That's the fragrance, the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God. That's easy. He lives in here, so we should be able to imitate him. We're with him all the time. Our children imitate us all the time. They'll end up sitting where we sit. They'll end up saying what we say. They'll end up disliking what we don't like and loving what we love, whether it's food or TV shows. They imitate us because they're with us all the time. We can imitate God. It's easy. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Why does it say that? Well, that's what God is. He's love. And if he's in us, well, that's what should be coming out. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, listen, as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. When we love another person, there is a beautiful fragrance or an aroma to them. When we love in adverse circumstances, it's a sacrificial smell that we don't quite understand, but wow, what is it about God that he would love me even when I'm like this, or when I'm going through this circumstance, I feel safe and secure and loved? Because the world says it shouldn't happen that way, but we know it to be true. We have had some Elms training. We've got established a Bible school in our church, and we've been trying to get all the students that have been attending to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and picturing colors, or a cafe shop or a particular person walking down a street, and then being brave enough to act on the prompting of the Spirit and go and talk with that person. And so there was a testimony in church last weekend. It might have been at the prayer meeting on Tuesday. And one of the ladies that attends, her name is Paula, and they're in a cafe, and there were two of the girls working there, and Paula simply sensed a prompting by the Holy Spirit to go and talk to one of the girls and tell her that God loves her, and that was all. And so she did. And then there was the other girl working behind the counter, and Paula sensed that she was under a lot of pressure and quite stressed about something. And so she went and spoke with that girl as well and said that she sensed that she was under stress and pressure, and can I pray for you? And both those girls said yes, and then after being given the tea and the coffee and so forth, both of them approached Paula and said, thank you so much. You've got no idea what that was for me. Total stranger. The fragrance. The person of God coming out. That's what God's like. He wants to come alongside. Number two, love is powerful. Love is powerful. How does a person experience the power of love? Action. Got to demonstrate it. Books and stories have been written. Movies have been directed and produced. Great acts of bravery performed in the theater of war. Incredible sacrifices made, all because of love. There was a civil war in what was known as Yugoslavia back in the 1990s, and there was footage of two dead bodies lying on a hill. And the story was given that the first body was that of a person who had a lover. And the person was trying to escape the fighting and was killed and shot. The second body was the person of the lover trying to save the first and died. And the bodies were covering each other. Love. It's very powerful. The Queensland floods earlier this year, parents died trying to save their children, and then siblings tried to save the other. In 1942, our very own Teddy Sheehan from Latrobe sacrificed his life going down with his ship, the Armadale. It was being attacked by the Japanese. I'll just read what it says. On the 1st of December, HMS Armadale came under the sustained Japanese air attack whilst en route to Timor. Enemy planes came from all directions, including 9 bombers, 3 fighters and a float plane. 2 explosions rocked the Armadale, causing the abandoned ship order. As the crew was abandoning the ship, Japanese aeroplanes began machine gunning the survivors in the water. When ordinary seaman Teddy Sheehan saw this, although having been wounded twice himself, manned the aft 20mm anti-aircraft gun and began shooting at the attacking aircraft. Teddy shot down at least one of the attacking aircraft and damaged 2 others. As the sea closed over the stern, Teddy remained at the gun and continued to engage the enemy aircraft. Teddy sacrificed himself to save his shipmates. And it was actually said on another account that he was still firing under the water until he passed away. What a great act of bravery. Now, back in those days, it was king and country. But I'm sure he also did that for the love of his shipmates. Love is very powerful. And I don't need to tell you about the great sacrifice Jesus made. We know this. We know that as a church. Jesus actually said himself in John 15, greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Now, here's a challenge. I think it'll be very, very easy for me to lay down my life for Dave and Alex, or for obviously my wife and children, or the many people that I know here. I would find that very, very easy. But it's very, very hard to die to myself and say, I'm going to say no to myself so someone else can live while still being alive. It's very, very easy to die a death and then have to live again. I could do that. But when I have to say no to myself for the sake of my wife and my family, I find that even harder because I'm still alive and I've got to put up with the personal... Yeah, all right, you can watch your show. Very poor example, but I think you know what I'm saying. Love is powerful. And it's living in right inside of us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, Romans 8 rather, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. We have an incredible power living inside of us that needs to come out so people can actually see love in action. For me, the most powerful aspect of love is that love in action. Love is a noun, yes. Love is also an adjective. But love, I think, the most powerful is a verb. One of the great Hawthorn football coaches, John Kennedy, had a particular phrase that he was well known for. Don't think, do. For those who follow Hawthorn or the footy. But put love in there. Don't think love, do love. We think a whole lot of things, but then don't act on them. And it stays inside of us and it loses all its power. It's actually meant to come out in an action. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God just didn't think about it. He actually acted on it. Demonstrate. We live in Ulverston, as I said, and I was walking into town one day and I walked past a house and there was a big load of wood on the front lawn, the driveway, and I noticed there was an older lady. I assumed that she was living there, but she was working in the garden, and I had a thought or a prompting, go and stack the wood. So I kept on going and I thought, well, I'll go and see that lady tomorrow. And so I did. And I went round to the house. The wood was still there, but I couldn't find her. I knocked on the door, and I thought, well, I'll just go around to the backyard. And this lady was right in the far bottom left-hand corner, and she was weeding the garden. And I tried to walk up to her in a sort of loud stomping so I wouldn't frighten her, because you know how sometimes people don't hear you coming because they're very focused on what she's doing, on what they're doing. So I made a bit of noise, and she looked up, and I said, I noticed your load of wood. Do you mind if I stack it for you? And she was shocked. And so we started to have conversation, and she said, no, it's okay. That wood has been dropped there by my son. Someone's going to come and pick me up. But this is the first time in my whole life anybody would come and offer to stack the wood. She was 85. And a very healthy 85. And we had a bit more conversation, and we had to leave it there because obviously she didn't need my help anymore. And I often look at that house. I should go back and visit again, but that simple act or demonstration of what motivated me was powerful to her. We've been helping a family all of last year. He was in the paper, Kevin Beard is his name, and they have a severely retarded son, and he was trying to raise funds. And so we as a congregation at Ulverston got behind his family, and we just said, well, we'll have a garage sale for you. And we were able to raise $2,000, which was a great help to him and his son and his family. And I said to Kevin, listen, mate, it's not about me trying to drag you out of your church and getting you to come to mine. I simply want to support you. Underlying motivation, I want to demonstrate God's love to him. He actually came to a men's breakfast a couple of weeks ago when we had Alan Meyer come, and we're about to start the Making Marriages Better. Great thinking, and yeah, we're looking forward to it as well. But again, another demonstration of trying to love somebody. Change course just for a moment. Love is powerful. Sadly, many people sacrifice themselves for love in relationships because it's so powerful and they want to experience that the power, the emotion, the acceptance. Many young women especially sacrifice their virginity for love, only discover that their boyfriends wanted the thrill of sex. TV shows and the media at large have turned what God designed for good into evil. They have turned the search for love and love itself into self-absorbing and personal seeking. Modern society has turned what God decreed as very good and sacred into a billion-dollar sexualization of children. You can't go anywhere without the whole meaning of love being distorted. We have the power living inside of us. We have the person of God living inside of us. Don't think, do. What are you doing about what you already know about love? We won't let our children watch some of the shows, and I'd like to be even harder and watch no TV. That's how I was brought up. God blessings. The only TV show we were allowed to watch on Sunday afternoon back in the 60s and 70s was anything on the Royal Family. It was different back then. I don't know why that ruling was there. But I can understand my parents' motivation in not allowing us to watch certain shows like Starsky and Hutch back then. Now I'm really going back. Starsky and Hutch was a cop show. He had a really flashy red car with a white strip. Or was it white with a red strip? Red with a white. Why wouldn't Mum and Dad allow us to watch that show? Because it was a distortion of real life. And in the end, as much as compared to now, that was fairly harmless, a lot of TV shows today distort good from evil, and actually the bad is more glorified than the good. And you as parents or brothers and sisters, whatever community you find yourself in, the love, the power lives inside here. And unless we actually talk about the truth of what love is, people will never know. Don't make your personal relationship so personal that it's a secret, or they'd be surprised to know that you're a Christian. I had that said to me once, a long, long time ago. I said, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? I didn't know. And I nearly jumped out of my skin. What, you didn't know? Didn't you see how I behave? Stand up. Make your voice heard, not in a way that actually pushes people away. Notice how God draws himself to us, loving kindness. So let's do what we can in turning what God has said is good to be just that, especially in what we've just been talking about. We often talk about spiritual gifts in our churches. That's the incredible power of God. We often talk about the fruit of the Spirit. That's the intimate character of God. And we have both living inside of us. I remember when Di and I first went to Devonport AOG in Steel Street. And we were sitting there and we were crying and crying and crying and crying. And even now, I don't really understand why that was happening. I can tell you in part it was a demonstration of the Spirit doing something in our lives, but I think that we were coming in contact with the love of God and it had a physical impact on our bodies. Some people will fall down under the power of the Spirit. Other people will have a laughing demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Other people will begin to speak in tongues under the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, for us, we had this demonstration of love, I believe, and it caused us to cry and to cry. And some people experience that in this church and in our church. God is powerful. Love is powerful. And then thirdly, very, very quickly, I hate time. Love has a purpose. He's a person. Love is a person. Love is very powerful. But unless you know what love is for, love has a purpose. If you ask me, the Bible is emphatic regarding the purpose of love. It's to save. God so loved the world that he saved. God does not want any to perish, but come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. The purpose of love is to reconcile. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Love has a purpose. It's very powerful. I'm a casual support worker at Sulphur Creek at the moment, and it's a halfway house for people that are drying out from alcohol addiction or coming off the binge of being a drug addict. And they come and stay with us for 2 weeks and then move on. And I was talking with one of the clients, and we started talking about God, and I was trying to describe who God was for me. And I said, listen, can I pray with you or pray for you? And his response was, well, I believe in a higher power. And I said, okay, that's good. I believe in God. And I left it there. And then I thought about it later, and the thought came to me, well, what's the purpose of the higher power in your life? And so I went to ask him. And remember we were talking about a few minutes ago, well, your higher power, what's he there for? What is the purpose of your higher power in your life? And left it, not in a in-your-face way, but just blending in, blending out, soft conversation. And hopefully that will get him to think about it. But unless you know why God is in your life and the purpose of love, well, find out. Allow God to demonstrate it to you. The purpose of love is pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1. Quickly turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a great passage. I don't hear many pages, Russell. Have you all got electronic Bibles? Oh, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then some people just... All right. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3. This is what it says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Listen, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance to the pleasure of his will. Gives great pleasure to God knowing that he has you, Brian, as a son. It gives great pleasure to God that he has you as a daughter, Alex. It gives God great pleasure to know that you are his because of love. That's the purpose of love, pleasure. The purpose of love, reconcile. The purpose of love, to save. And then very quickly and lastly, in fact, the team can join me on stage. The purpose of love is to reproduce. God has designed all the animal kingdom and the fruit life to reproduce. It is the same for humankind. The purpose of love is to reproduce itself in the life of another. What is the most powerful part of a piece of fruit? The seed. God has placed in you seed. It's called love. And the reason why you have love in your life, so that you can plant it in another. And not just your demonstration of love, as much as there's, in one sense, perhaps nothing wrong with it. It's got a human taint to it. And human love, in one regard, will have limitations to it, as we know. But the seed that God has placed in you when you asked Jesus into your heart was the love of himself through the Holy Spirit. And there's no limitation to the love of God because it raised Jesus from the dead. And that seed inside of you can do miraculous, powerful things in your life, but God does not want it to stay there. He wants you to get it out of your heart and place it into the heart of another so that they might experience, they might have it demonstrated to them, God's love. We can't do anything God wants us to do without the Holy Spirit. As I said, love empowered by self will always have limitations. Love empowered by the Holy Spirit will have an incredible impact on another person and give the invitation and the opportunity for eternity. John chapter 3:16. You cannot preach a sermon on love without going there. For God so loved that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus can, will, indefinitely, undeniably, have a place in heaven. Have a name written in the book of life. And to be known as God's son and God's daughter. Love is amazing. Love is incredible. And we have been created so that we can experience His love and be a mirror of who He is to the world. The challenge for us today, the names that we reeled off about who God is, are they simply dictionary definitions? Because you had a chance to think about it because the microphone was there, and then when you finally got to go to the microphone, they haven't said that one. Are you actually talking about personal revelation? How you see God is how you're relating to others. God is love. Demonstrate it. Show it. Give it to somebody as you have received it. Can I pray for you? And then I'm going to invite Pastor Dave to come back. Father, I pray right now for this group of people. I ask for your Holy Spirit to keep brooding over this church called Energizer Life Church, and that the seed of truth, the seed of who you are, will continue to grow. Holy Spirit, water that seed so the growth will happen strongly. And it'll be very, very natural for a branch to grow out of each person here and then drop that seed out of that branch into the life of another and water that seed as well. Oh, Lord, I pray and ask that a revelation of who you are will happen in each of our lives, regardless of who we are, where we have come from, how long we've known you. And it's not a personal thing, totally. But it be something that floods our heart, leaves our hands, and touches another person. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name.